What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Operation Hero Talk, the number one podcast for the nerds, the nerdettes, the blurds, the blurdettes, and of course the weebs and the weebettes. What is going on? Got another great episode for you guys. Of course, it is your boy, your swifty, swagged out host, Dimitri Starks, back in the building once again, time and time again, blowing in the wind. I don't know why I keep saying that. I don't smoke, but you know, still. Still, it's just I take a lot of stuff from Snoop Dogg. Anyway, how are you, ladies and gents? How are you guys doing? What a fucking pleasure. I'm very happy to have you guys back. It's anime week. We always got to geek out. We always got to geek out for anime week. And we're thinking about a character to do. I wanted to do this character for a long time, but at the same time, I didn't want to basically, you know, do this character too soon because I got a lot to say. I got a lot of opinions because this is arguably my favorite character in the Naruto verse. All right. We're talking about just a legend, the legend, ladies and gentlemen. That's who we're talking about here. We're talking about the legend, the god Shinobi himself, the man who has a little brother with breathtakingly anger issues. We are talking about the man who was the co-founder of the village hidden in the leaves. We are talking about the man who somehow learned sage art, even though we have no idea who trained this nigga. Also, we are talking about the man who has a serious gambling addiction and apparently that problem trickled its way down to his family, all the way down to his granddaughter. We are talking about the man, the myth, the man who will summon a big ass Buddha statue to slap you with to pimp slap you with 1,000 wooden hands. We are talking about Hashirama Senju, ladies and gentlemen. And with that being said, I can't just talk about this myself. I had to bring in help from the OG, from one of my OGs, one of my very best friends. I invited him on the podcast so we can just go ahead and chop it up about this. I'm speaking, of course, about Chicago's very own John Allen. How you doing, John? What's going on?
What's up, bro?
Nothing much, man. I'm very happy to have you on the show.
Yeah, it's an honor to be here, bro.
Thank you. I tell people, you know, because there are a few youngsters that listen to the show, and they really don't understand, you know, because they got shit that they can stream online now. We had to wait until 9 o'clock on Thursdays to watch this shit.
Yeah, didn't it, man? Naruto used to come on the weekends, didn't it, when Toonami was popping?
During church.
During church, yes. During church. I used to have my older brother record it, and then he sent us the tapes and shit. That was back from VHS.
Man.
It was still almost a thing.
It was pretty much outmoded, but it was hanging on by a thread there. Mm-hmm. So before we get into it, I just want to say the usual. If you guys like the content, if you like the podcast, go ahead and add it to your library so you'll know when we drop an episode. We're streaming on multiple platforms, especially the big three: Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Apple, of course. We also have social media pages on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram, Operation Hero Talk, all lowercase. Go ahead and hit us with a like, hit us with a follow. If there's anything that you want to see, any characters that you want to learn about, please feel free to let us know, let me know, and I will make a video accordingly. If I like the character, if I know enough about them, and if I don't know about the character, I'll definitely do my research. I like learning about new characters. It's all about discovery, you know what I'm saying? And last of course but not least, you know, go ahead and follow the YouTube page, Mad Nerd Talk. We are dropping all the podcast videos on there for free as well, so you guys don't have to pay for them. Also, we drop content on various superhero related subjects the last video I dropped was on Thor Love and Thunder and how basically I thought the movie was ass. So, you know, go ahead and hit me with a like, hit me with a follow and subscribe so you'll know when we drop a video there. But with that being said, let me just get into it. Let me just get into this shit. It's when you grow up in a time
of constant war.
When you grow up into a time of constant war, and not even in constant war, when you grow up in a time where things are the way they are, you get used to certain shit, right? Mm-hmm. We here will never know what it's like to grow up in a third world country because we didn't grow up in a third world country.
True.
So things that are normal here for us are not normal to people there, and same thing vice versa. This is why I always encourage people, if they're in school and they want to study abroad, I always say go study abroad. You need to learn what it's like to be in other places and other cultures. It's good for you. So with that being said, we get used to things, and as my colleague just mentioned, war, it's a bitch. It changes people, right? Some people give up. Some people refuse to accept that things can ever be different from what they were. Hashirama was not one of those people. He was one of the people that always felt like there had to be more than this. That just like I don't get it. Like every time we go out on a mission, one or multiple of us ain't coming back. And it's the same. And if it's the same thing for this side, and I imagine it's the same thing for that side, I know because I have personally murked some of them niggas.
True story.
I have personally murked some of them. Well, wait. What's the end game here?
What's the point of it all?
What's the point? Because there has to be a point.
Hashirama was saying that at like a young age. You were trying to figure that out from like the gates.
Exactly. And
his dad didn't like that shit.
His dad did not like it. And we're getting into the origin. But let's start with some, because I got some points here. Hold on. Let me open this shit up real quick. There you go. Because I had some great points. Okay. Here we go. Ooh, I got some good shit here. Hold on.
I'm looking fire,
there,
bro.
There was so much about Hashirama that we never found out. That we wanted to find out.
Yeah.
Just dude's being from
talked a talked about so highly, but
yes. Give me something that you wanted to know about him that you never found out, and expound on it.
I wanted to know how he died.
That's on the fucking list. That's on the list. I never knew how he died. At first I thought the guy from the Akatsuki killed him. But no, I don't think that's the case, because he never flat out said he did. He never said he killed him. He just said he fought him.
Yeah, and it looked like he got his ass whooped, to be honest with you.
It looks like from what I saw from the image that they showed in the manga and in the anime, it looks like he got a hold of him and he almost got that motherfucker out. But the problem is, and you know what, I think they did this shit on purpose, which really pisses me off. I think they did this shit on purpose. They never said whether or not he succeeded.
Mm-mm.
They never said it. I personally think that he died. I thought he died of old age, right? But yeah. Here's where I'm conflicted in that. Because of the reanimation jutsu.
Yeah.
Think about that. They brought everybody back at the exact same age that they died. If he died when he was older, he would have been older than Sarutobi.
See, that's not really. No, I can't really say that that's how they did that, because look at Madara for a second. He died and he was old as fuck. But when he came back in his prime.
That was he activated the Inagi. That's different.
How so?
Because he basically altered reality.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he altered reality. So that's totally different. That doesn't qualify here. So, and not to mention, because we know how the hell is his brother's name?
Tobirama.
We know how Tobirama died. He sacrificed himself. Yeah. And that was when he named Sarutobi the
Third Hokage.
Third Hokage, right. So he died at that age. Hashirama died at that age. So there is like possible evidence that this nigga died young. So he could have gotten killed by the Akatsuki member. But the thing that irks my soul to this day is that they never flat out said it.
Nah. You can look it up and do all your research you want, but you're not about to find.
They never said you can't. Nobody can find out how he died.
Time of death, way of death. They just said that he died somewhere between the first Great Ninja War and the second Great Ninja War.
Exactly. And this is what brings me to my point about this is what brings me to our next point. What you guys have to understand, especially for you guys that watch Boruto, because from what I've heard, they don't mention Hashirama a lot in Boruto. I don't like that, because you have to understand that this man was more powerful than anybody in that fucking show. And this is what leads me to the next point. We don't know how he died, but what we do know was that when he died, they had to hide his body.
Mm-hmm.
Just like they had to hide Madara's body. It was so, because they knew he was that powerful, that he was that powerful to the point where, and you saw how many people used his cells in the show.
People have died trying to use his cells.
And people took, like, when and of course I'm assuming Tobirama was because by the time Tobirama died, Hashirama was already dead. So
he was already dead.
So basically, like, this had to come down to Tobirama. Or it was either Tobirama or the council. Either way, still people in higher places that said we cannot bury this, we cannot give this man a normal send-off, because if we do, somebody will desecrate his corpse in the hopes that they can become as powerful as he is. Tell me that's not some savage.
The whole time, that's savage. That's real savage. But I just wanted to say that whole time when they did that, Orochimaru was still somehow plucking out his cells and shit.
Yeah.
Using his cells for experiments.
He got it from Danzo.
Oh yeah, Danzo a fucking snake.
Snake ass. Look, you know what? Let's say, Look, we got time, damn it. We got time. Let's take our time. We'll build up, because I got something for him and I got something for Madara's ass. So I'm gonna ask you a question. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna ask you a question. Cause you another one. Everybody told me whenever I discuss Hashirama with somebody, the first thing they say is, no, Dimitri, you got to twist it. He was just that powerful that he created his own Sage Mode. No, it doesn't work like that. No. You have to be taught that. Yeah, you have to taught that. That it doesn't work like that. Another thing, another goddamn thing they never told us. Who, what Sage trained this man? There's a theory. There's a theory. Uh-huh. And I want to know. I want to know what you think about this, because I want you to talk. I want you to speak on this. Think about this. The theory is that the Slug Sage actually trained Hashirama. That's not a bad theory, right?
It's not, because, you know, that would explain how his granddaughter is, you know what I'm saying?
Yes!
The Slug Queen.
Sidebar, we gonna come right back to the Slug Sage. Sidebar, did you know that there's a Wolf Sage?
No, I just knew about the Snake Sage, the Toad Sage.
Yep.
The Slugs, I mean, they had to do something.
Monkey Sage, yep.
And
yeah, apparently in Boruto there's a Wolf Sage.
See, I'm not watching Boruto. I don't want to stoop so low to watch
I'm gonna watch it eventually, because they resurrected Jiraiya, and I just gotta see what that looks like.
You said they what?
They resurrected Jiraiya.
It might be worth my time.
Okay, so, but that's not a bad theory though, right? Because it doesn't matter.
Where did you get this theory from?
It's circulated online a while ago. Apparently, this is not a new theory, because we know he wasn't trained by the Toads. They would have told Naruto. No. They would have told Naruto this. And some semblance of the jutsu is always present in the user, right? Mm-hmm. All Jiraiya did was use Toads, right?
Yeah.
And Toad techniques. Even Madara, when he became the Ten Tails host, he used Sage Art, right? And he was, but that was different though. That was the Sage of the Six Paths. It's a different Sage.
Sage Art, yeah, right. Yeah, because he had Hashirama's cells.
Exactly.
That helped him achieve that. And he had the markings on his, the Hashirama face and shit.
What was I gonna say? Fucking Orochimaru and his little assistant.
Kabuto?
Both of them. Both trained by the Snake Sage, right? The point is...
Orochimaru didn't... He got cast out, though. He couldn't... He never learned Sage Mode.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
No, look. Okay. So, bringing it back full circle. This is why this is such a strong character. What you guys have to understand is that we know he used Sage Mode. He used Sage Mode in the battle against Madara.
Mm-hmm.
No indication where it came from. No indication who taught it to him. Never revealed it in the anime or the manga. And even when he did use it, the technique that he used had nothing to do with the Sage Mode.
No, he was just using the chakra as a life form.
Exactly.
That's so rare too.
To bring in natural energy, to bring in all that natural energy so that he could summon the statue, right? Asherah's statue? Asherah's statue that he used when he first fought his brother. And you know, they kept getting resurrected and Madara and Hashirama and then in Naruto.
Yeah, right.
So the Sage of the Six Paths Sons, right? So those are their techniques, the Infinite Tsukuyomi, and then what's the shit that the Uchiha is
crossing gun?
No.
Oh, you're talking about Sasano?
Yes. That and then the Buddha statue, Thousand Palm Fist. So
yeah.
That leads to the next point. Because this is some shit we really gotta talk to. I remember way back when Naruto Shippuden was like, it was still on TV. Mm-hmm. Right, it was still coming out, so you were still, yeah, so you were still watching the shit week to week, and it was kind of getting near the end. It was during the fourth ninja war, so they you could see things were kind of coming down to the wire here, and I was watching an episode with my older brother, and he looked at me. And he said something that was profoundly, this is what's going to get to our next point. He said something that was, I thought was, he might have thought it was impactful, but I knew it wasn't. He said that, yo, do you see all of this damage that Madara and Obito are causing? And they a two-man army. I think they could do this even if they didn't have Hashirama cells.
No.
Now I
that's false.
Now I looked at him. I gave him the look. And I was like, maybe. But in my mind, I was like, there is no fucking way. Not a chance. The answer is no.
They tried.
The answer is no.
They got
the answer is always gonna be no.
Like, he didn't even have a Brenny gun until he got those shells. Madara.
Exactly. That's one of our points. Madara's a bitch. And and so it's good. No. Madara's a bitch. Danzo's a bitch. Kabuto's a bitch. Orochimaru's a bitch. They're four bitches. That were four antagonists on the show.
Yeah, and they were like gods at that one time. But no, the real god of Shinobi is Hashirama. That's another thing. Like, he was so powerful, everybody deemed him a god.
Can I ask you something though? Mm-hmm. This is what I want you. This is like a real discussion that we need to have, and we need to try to figure this shit out with the audience. Why was he so powerful? That's what I don't get. Did he have? Yeah, he learned Sage Art, and he could pull in life energy, and that gives you a major boost to your chakra. But he didn't use Sage Art.
He had a constant healing ability, too, that he didn't need his hand signs or nothing like that.
Right.
That shit was cold-blooded.
But what I'm saying is he didn't need... He didn't use Sage Mode all the time. And the fact that... Because at one point, I'm like, okay, so... Y'all, when I like first learned about the character, I was like, okay, so y'all just wanted a character that y'all wrote in that y'all wanted to be more powerful than the Uchiha's. Okay, cool. But there was no, I think that's one of the things that adds to the mystery of the character. We never really understand why and what made him as powerful as he was. He had a fucking jutsu for everything. Do you not realize how big of a flex that is? That when that a guy that you have been fighting for years and you refuse to murk this dude, even though you know you could, just to get him to agree to a ceasefire agreement, he breaks out a brand new Susanoo technique, and in your mind, you're like, oh my god. But then you respond with, oh, I got something for that.
That Susanoo was ginormous.
Yes. But like, I got something for that. I got something for that. Where the hell do you even practice that jutsu at? What transpires in your mind? Cause it had to be here's how I picture it playing. He was at the casino.
Mm-hmm.
He was at the casino. No, you know what? He wasn't at the casino because they didn't have a lot of time. They didn't have a lot of time to do shit else except war at that time. So he was just, yeah. So he was just chilling, and then he had to think to himself, "Damn, well, what if they can summon monsters?" Okay.
Then he probably thought about the tail beast, and was true. Like, you know what? I might need something.
I might need something.
Yeah. He would. They said that he used to be like controlling all the tail beasts, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. No, what?
Not controlling, but like they daddy. I don't know.
At that point, in the world, all the tail beasts were hidden. Not hidden, but it was a situation where just you stay the fuck away from me and I won't wreck your shit.
Yeah,
it was pretty much that. So they were known about. It was just a situation where it was like, out of sight, out of mind. On both sides. On both sides, out of sight, out of mind.
Until Madara was like, I need to whoop Hachirama's ass.
I still cannot think of what the thought process that comes into play for you to come up with a technique. How the fuck do you even do that? How do you even come up with a technique to make a 300 tall fucking golem looking monster with a dragon on its golem? Like, I don't know what the hell it looked like. It was like a Buddhist monster looking thing with a dragon on its shoulder. And then you think, you know what? Not only am I going to put a dragon on this thing's shoulder, I'm also going to make that dragon be able to attack you. And not only am I going to make the dragon be able to attack you, when I want it to, it's going to explode right in your fucking face.
Yeah, that dragon used to also absorb chakra.
Yeah. And then he made multiple of... You see...
The guy,
when I was watching, this is why Hashirama is one of my favorites, because as you grow older, you realize how insane this shit was. Because when I was a child watching this, or when I was younger watching this, I was like, damn, I was like, shit, this nigga is cold. He not missing. And
video games, he has some of the biggest sack specials too.
And I hated the, and you know what? We can get into the games because you're more knowledgeable about that than me. I didn't like the Uchiha's. So to see a nigga that was beating them and not really even trying, I was like, wow.
Yeah. That shit crazy when you really think about it.
Yeah.
The Uchiha's was feared. Known before all the lands, you know what I'm saying? The great antagonists of a fucking era. They had a whole era of the Uchiha's being feared. Matter of fact, they still fear to this day.
Yep.
But
so they had Senju.
The Senju clan, they all died out except for Tsunade. But
Didn't the Uzumaki clan come from the Senju?
They're distant relatives.
Distant relatives? Okay, because I was going to say, like,
the Uzumaki clan was so dangerous, they had to wipe them out completely. And they just had to, they scattered across the world. So, bro.
And let's see,
Hashirama's first wife was a Uzumaki. Well, his wife, not his first wife, the first lady.
Hashirama's wife was part of the Uzumaki clan?
Yes, sir.
How do you know that? Is that confirmed?
Yeah, that's a fact. She was also the first Jinjuriki.
Really?
For the Nine Tails.
Wait, nigga, you mean Minato?
No, I mean the first Hokage.
You really?
Go ahead, Google it up real quick. Let's take a second to fact check that.
Oh yeah, I got to. Not saying I don't believe you, but I gotta.
Yeah, that's this. Deep right there.
I'm surprised I never knew that. Nah, but for real, this is gonna be some crazy shit if this is for real. Episode 33, Operation Hero Talk, Hashirama sends you. Get my man John Allen on the ones and twos. Guess
what's good, people?
So let's see here. Hold on. Let me see what's going on here. OK, Okay, occupation, head of senior clan. Yep. Status, deceased. Yeah, we know he's deceased. Let's see.
Spouse.
Oh, you're right. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Mito Uzumaki. That was his wife. That's amazing. And it's crazy. Like, he do have he obviously has kids, but they never said who that was.
What happened to him? I mean, yeah. I think they died eventually.
Well, shit, they had to.
Now they have to have a dad.
Right. Originated from Uzushiogaki. Yeah, the Uzumaki clan. After migrating to Konoha, she married Hashirama, the village's first Hokage, and later became the first Jinkuriki. Yeah, goddamn. All right, John. Fact checking, confirm, my nigga.
Yes, sir. You know, can't be going around here spreading lies.
Well, shit. I wasn't spreading lies. I just didn't know about it.
Yeah, well.
I was just keeping quiet. Holy shit. Hey, shout out to Junkai Island on the ones and twos. Let's keep this shit going. So, if you are an enemy. If you're an enemy, so are you in a situation, are you in a place right now, John, that you can say you sympathize with the enemy? Think about it this way. Or do you sympathize with these enemies, particularly in these shows? The only person I will give a pass is Obito, because he didn't ask to have Hashirama cells. Yeah, he didn't have asked to have Hashirama.
He was under like a mind control device, also. You know what I'm saying? That Kakashi had to lightning blade into his chest and shit like that, man.
I'm just talking about when he woke up.
Yeah, when he woke up, he still was on bullshit.
Because when he woke up, he was planning on going back to the village.
You talking about after he became the Ten-Tail Jinchuriki?
No, I'm talking about Obito.
Yeah, Obito. I'm talking
before, right after he got crushed by the rock.
All the way back.
Yeah. When he woke up, he was just a sack of potatoes. Exactly. When he woke up, he already had Hashirama's cells put into him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how he was able to survive. the white part of his body, those were Hashirama's cells.
I just figured they were like the Zetsus, bro.
No.
He was using some wood style too when he was
Yep.
During that hell episode when he seen Ren had
died. Yep. So yeah. he's the only guy I'll give a pass. But if you are, you know, let's just get into our moderator as a bitch. Nobody. Yeah, listen, and I'm saying this to all of the listeners. Y'all don't want no moderate smoke with me, okay? This man is the definition of a pouty child. He's a like all of you think about all of you think about all of the shit that this man did in the show. And with this, don't worry, this is still connected to Hashirama. We're gonna bring it back full circle. You think about all of the shit that this man did in the show. One scene that sticks in my mind is when he was walking through the village after they had established the village, and he was walking through it with Hashirama, and everybody was looking at him crazy. And they was looking at him like he was scary. I'm like, yeah, nigga, because you are scary looking.
Yeah.
Like, cut your damn hair. Maybe smile every once in a while. Maybe that'll help. You know what I mean? Like you are very intimidating.
And he was whacking shit on top of that. They remember him doing all type of crazy.
Exactly.
Shit.
So it's a situation where it's like, yeah, dude, you were scared. Did you forget that you made a 500 foot fucking monster appear in the sky? You don't think anybody that eventually moved to the village saw that? Like, come on, bro.
We saw that from down the street.
Right. Like, at some point, down the street. Man, I saw that from the other village. What are you talking
about? Oh, shit.
I saw that from the village hitting in the rain, and it's raining. Like, oh, like, you know what? But the point is, I feel like it was just misplaced anger, because it was a situation where it was like, I'm all alone. Technically, he was all alone. I'm all alone. I have my brethren. I have my clan. But I'm all alone. My family's dead. My brother's dead. I feel like an outcast. Nobody loves me. It's like, no, you never gave anybody the chance to love you.
Yeah.
You never gave anybody the chance.
His brother's just gone. I guess he felt unworthy.
Right.
Of love.
I think it was, I don't even think it was a situation where he felt unworthy of love. It just felt like, to me, he just wasn't patient enough. And I will admit, this is where I'm on his side. I will admit, Toby Rama did not help. He did not help.
No, he didn't.
He didn't help. But at the same time,
Toby Rama was born same.
I gotta give him the same benefit of the doubt. You know why this is real, and let's get back to Hashirama after this. You know why I think that Toby Rama didn't like Madara and Madara didn't like Toby Rama? Because these motherfuckers were more alike than they cared to admit.
Yeah. I was gonna say because they killed each other's brothers, but you know.
They did kill each other's brothers, but at the same time, like, well, Madara didn't kill Toby Rama's and Hashirama's brother.
I know he died.
Somebody in the Uchiha clan killed them, but it wasn't.
But we do know for a fact that Toby Rama had used that flying Raijin and killed Madara's little brothers.
Beautifully. He used that shit beautifully. But yeah, I mean, hey, it was wartime. You gotta let it go, brother. You gotta let it go. It is what the point I'm trying to make is that you come up with this master plan. You literally bite off a piece of this man's. You literally bite off a piece of this man's arm. You use another forbidden technique to alter reality. You hide your body. You use his cells, ingest them, open the Rinnegan, summon the Gedo statue. Do all of these things because of Hashirama. And when you come back during the fourth Great Ninja War, you got the balls to brag? Do you know how pissed off I was? I was like, excuse me. So we just gonna act like that's not Hashirama's face in your left nipple right now?
Yeah, I do. Because, damn, he was at max form without his max without Hashirama's cells. Couldn't live up to the hype. Hashirama beat the shit out of him. So then with the Hashirama cells and them.
And man, not to mention
destroying mountaintops.
Right. And not to mention the fact that he was going up against a reanimated version of Hashirama that was clearly not as powerful as the alive version.
I wanted to touch on about how the reanimation was based off the Jutsu user knowledge of the person he's reanimating.
Right.
That's why he was like, the user of this Jutsu is well informed. He even got my Rinnegan. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When he was kept at a low key, ain't nobody really knew about that Rinnegan except for Obito.
Yeah. And
he gave him to Naruto. Yeah.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And even in that, when you know this, like, could you remember? You remember he kept headhunting Hashirama on the battlefield, like I'm right here right now. Let's finish this fight. And in my mind, I'm thinking that's such bitch energy. That's such bitch energy. You realize you're literally jumping this man with himself.
Exactly. You over here. You have to use my own power against me.
You have to use my own power against me. Like, do you realize that if I was Hashirama, do you understand the amount of jokes I'd have flung this nigga away? I don't care that we on the battlefield. I'd have been like, oh, what are you gonna do? Throw my arm at me? Like, what are you gonna do?
I don't like how Hashirama lost so easily against him though. When he had those tails.
Yeah, it was
beat up so bad.
He got the shit kicked out of him. But you know what though? I was actually okay with that because I'm like, you know what? I think that what the writers are doing in that instance, it's like, you know what? We can't make this like before. This can't be the battle that it was before because we have to save way for the new Ashura and Indra. We have to save their new reincarnations. So we have it can't be Hashirama that saves the day again. That's already happened, right? So it's like we got to make this more related to today. I gotta ask. Side note, because I gotta know. Do you think that Hashirama's gambling addiction was as bad as Tsunade's?
No.
But you know that's where I got it from, though.
Yeah. She was a gambling spoiler. You used to give her all type of money and shit. He was pretty good at gambling, though. You know what I'm saying?
And can we just take a moment to appreciate the fact that my man developed a damn near borderline gambling addiction? Because if you're knowledgeable and you're a scholar, and you, let's just say you lived in the village hidden in the leaves.
Yes.
And you were a scholar and you understood everything that's happened in the history. You understand how we got to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you walking past, you on your way to go get you some ramen, you just chilling. And you see the first Hokage. You see the first Hokage, you know, on a slot machine through the doorway of a casino. And then you just walk past, right? You just walk past. Like, okay, all right, cool. I'm gonna go get me some ramen. But then you overhear two people saying, oh, first Hokage is being a little ridiculous. Like, he's in there every day. Like, Hokage shouldn't act this way. Maybe it's me. But I'm turning right around and thinking, hold on, young boy, do you realize the shit he went through?
let that man gamble
his heart out. Did he need extra chips? I don't make much, but I got something. Like you do realize that you're probably not standing here without him, right?
That's true. I wouldn't really. I don't know. I think I tried to ignore him, man. I don't know.
You wouldn't say anything?
Is it
just like if it doesn't bother him, it doesn't bother you type of situation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not give a fuck would be overpowered.
Yeah. I don't know. I would have said something.
Some more mainly, than I give a fuck.
I would have said something, and I don't think I would have been. I wouldn't have been mean about the situation, but I'd have just like calmly walked up and said, "The man's been through a great war. He's been in war since he was in his teens.
He was in a war with the Uchiha clan,
right?
There was a great ninja war with all the fucking villages. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And now he has the opportunity to relax and take time off. And he has the chance to watch his dream, which was this village, grow and thrive and manifest and manifest itself into one of the most powerful villages that produce the most powerful ninjas of all time. Let that man live. Let that man live. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can say. No, besides that, just let the man live. How y'all doing? Yeah. Y'all want some ramen? Come on, let's roll. Let's leave the Hokage.
You clearly ain't got shit else better to do. But
you clearly don't. Except talk shit. So here, okay. And this is one of the we're getting towards the end here. But I wanna. This is something we definitely need to talk about. And I want you to talk on this first. Why didn't Hashirama rein in his brother enough?
Could you explain what you mean by that?
I understand that, because you got to remember, Tobirama became the second Hokage before Hashirama died. Mm-hmm. There were certain things that Tobirama did that I didn't agree with. There were many things he did that I didn't agree with, especially because of the persecution of the Uchiha clan. It was kind of like you meet your destiny on the path you take to avoid it. You were afraid that these motherfuckers were gonna rebel, but your treatment of them is what ultimately led them to the decision to rebel. Like, I know what you're gonna say. I'm already on your wavelength. Now I know that in a clan that powerful, yes, there's likely going to be somebody in the clan or multiple that say, well, you know, what we have is nice. It's equal. Well, we're not in war, but I mean, we could have it all. I mean,
like, oh my God, could you imagine if the Uchiha back in that day, before Itachi did what he did, if they actually went through
with it?
Yeah, man, that should have been.
It could have got bad. It would have got bad. It would have got bad. But
I don't think they would have won that war. But
yeah, I don't think. Yeah, that's where me and you agree. I don't think the Uchiha would have won that war either. I think they would have lost. The only, because you remember they were banking on the father controlling the Ninetales. Mm-hmm. That's, to me, that's the only way they win, but that's not a guarantee. So bringing it back to Tobirama's policies and his treatment of the clan, yeah, you have to take some responsibility for the way things eventually went down, and by association, so do you, Hashirama.
So Hashirama, the reason why he didn't rein in on his brother was because, shit, his brother was like, he was like his the brain.
You know, he was the brain. He did a lot of good things for the village. Go on.
So while Hashirama was pretty much the might, you know what I'm saying, he felt like he could lead that shit to him. But you notice when Madara was like, I'm not gonna stop coming after you, Hashirama, unless you like kill your brother or kill yourself. And then he was like, bet, don't touch Madara after I'm dead, you know what I'm saying? Don't touch none of Uchiha, you know what I'm saying? Because he knew how Tobirama felt about the Uchiha, you know what I'm saying? But as his dying declaration, he made it so that he didn't do it. He didn't touch them. And as long as he lived, he didn't touch them. But he still tried to keep them close enough to keep a watchful eye. Yeah. And a watchful eye just wasn't good enough.
You know what's so crazy? Is that when you really think about it, Tobirama was the Danzo, but definitely, yeah, less despicable. Less despicable. Don't get me wrong. don't get me wrong, we love Toby. Look, it's okay. We love Toby Rama. We hate Donzo. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying they're alike in most cases. No, they're not. I'm just saying, in the inability of the former to rein in the latter, Hashirama is Sarutobi and Toby Rama is Donzo.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment.
Right. Only in the inability, literally that one point. Only in the inability to rein them in.
Came back to life.
Right.
Came back to life and saw Sasuke. It's like, oh, I kill this nigga right now.
Right. And it, look, I'm look to all of y'all, I'm apologizing in advance for when I do this Sarutobi episode, because I'm gonna tell you right now, I am going to rip this man a new one.
Sarutobi, I ain't gonna lie to you, bro, I'm not a big fan of the third.
I got no love for the third Hokage. I got no love for him. Because
we're not gonna make it a hate speech or nothing like that. Just
no hate speech. I just got no love for him. There was too much, because what, and this is how this relates back to Toby Rama and by association Hashirama. Because yes, Toby Rama did some things that set some policies in place that the Uchiha clan was like, I don't know about that. Bro, that seems kind of shady. At least he wasn't flat out spying on them. He made them the police force for the village.
Yeah.
That was Toby Rama's policy. Yeah.
Like forcing their allegiance or some shit. Like, what if they didn't want to do that shit?
I think if they didn't want to do it, I think he wouldn't make them do it. But my point is, at least he didn't establish he didn't establish a secret force. He didn't establish the Anbu Black Ops. Donzo did.
No, that Donzo did. That's
right. He didn't go after Hashirama's cells. Donzo did. He wasn't aiding and abetting and kidnapping people. Donzo did. Donzo, like, Toby Rama was leading missions. Right. And the only thing that I will say is the same. And this is my only negative, really, about Hashirama. At some point, you really got to, because you're an older brother. I'm an older brother. Mm-hmm. We all been there. At some point, you got to go to your little brother and say, yo,
you fucking
knock that shit out. Knock that shit out. Because it's getting to a point where it's becoming a problem, a noticeable problem. And this needs to, we can't operate like this. You got to stop now.
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work. Because now you're going to fuck it up for multiple people. Everything that I've built up to this point, you're putting it in jeopardy because you are fighting with the very clan that we need to make this shit work. And we can't let that happen. That can't happen. We can't do it. So with that, and we got, oh damn, we almost got 5 minutes left. Okay. So let's move right into the ratings. So what we do, John, is we give an overall rating. We give an overall rating out of 10. We give a battles rating, like, so all of the battles put together, what would you, like, you know, all of the battles, you know, and then how would you rank those out of 10? Powers and abilities, how would you rank those out of 10? And that's pretty much it. So I'll go first just to show you. All right.
All right.
So for Hashirama, powers and abilities, I got to get a man a 10 out of 10. Solid. Hashirama had no weaknesses, man. He didn't have weaknesses. He didn't have one weakness.
It was probably his love for
Madara. The village, and his love for Madara, because he thought of him as a brother. Yeah, okay, that was his only weakness. But in technique, nobody was trying to see this man in technique. It was not gonna happen. Then I'm going to say battles. I'm gonna give that a 7 out of 10 because I think that his battle against Madara was the first time. I think that his mm-hmm. battle against Madara was, to me, arguably one of the best battles in the show, period. There wasn't really much before or after that I could work with, so I was like, well, okay, there's that one, and then there's the one at the end where he killed him before he activated the Inagi. So I'm like, okay, that's so there's those two, but not really much before that, so I'll give that a 7. So overall, I'm giving my man's a 9 out of 10. I think that whether you watch Naruto, whether you watch Naruto Shippuden, whether you watch Boruto, if you don't know who Hashirama Senju is, I can't really call you a true fan. I can't.
You gotta know about the guy.
Shinobi.
Part, no.
Yeah. He's the first face on the fucking mountain. First of all, if you don't know all the faces on that mountain, come on now.
Mount Miyaboku. Nah, that's Mount Miyaboku that's the Toad Mountain. I'm tripping.
Yeah.
I was just watching Naruto earlier. Jiraiya was just
man, give me your ratings with your simple ass.
Anywho, let's see. His skill and technique.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm gonna have to agree with you. My man's just out of this world. I'm gonna have
seriously
to give him a 10. Out of everybody, I'm rating him from everybody on the show, right?
Yeah.
He was top dog.
Facts.
I have to give him a 10.
Facts.
Only one that could have stood up against him was Madara.
Facts.
You know, Madara had to cheat so many damn times.
Facts. I will say this, and you know how we were talking earlier about how when Madara had Hashirama cells and Hashirama was definitely weaker.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you recall, it's similar to when Orochimaru resurrected him and he went against the third Hokage.
Yeah, and he only had like 1% or 10% of
exactly
his power.
And so did Tobirama, because if they was at full power, you already know that it's
they would have murked the third.
It's light work. It's light work.
Yeah,
light work,
bro. Hey, look, man, include me on the third Hokage because I got some things to say.
Look, you think I ain't? You think I ain't looping you in on that episode? Oh, you definitely gonna be on that episode. Don't even worry about it. I try to space out my Naruto episodes because I could go character. I can go 30 characters in a row if I really wanted to. But I try to space them out. Okay. Overall, battles. Rank those out of 10. Like all together, his battle sequences and throughout the show. What do you think about? Like, what would you rank those out of 10?
Now, see, I would say, I can't say 7, though. I have to disagree with you on that one. Because I want to say he was like an 8 or 9. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Because as a child, he was given adult, fully grown Uchihas with Sharingans. He was giving them that work, bro.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And not just his fight with Madara. He was whooping ass all his life.
Yeah.
Killing shit.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I don't agree with you on the rating, but I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that, though. I agree. That's a good point. All right, so what's your overall rating of them?
A 9.5.
9.5. What?
Why?
Like, what was the 0.5 all for?
Cause I don't like how he got beat up by. I still don't like how he got beat up by
Madara in the fourth Raid Ninja War.
Yeah, I still don't like that shit because he came back with damn near all his chakra. You know what I'm saying? And he just got beat up so simple, so easy to me.
Well, Toby Robbins was like getting his ass murked too.
Yeah, Toby Robbins had a pole stuck in his forehead. I ain't gonna forget that. That shit was bogus.
I thought it was a little funny. I ain't even gonna jack to you. Cause it's like you got a pole stuck in your head and you still talking shit.
He was definitely still talking shit. These motherfucking Uchihas.
It's like you are in no. It's like, sir, you are in no position to be talking shit right now. Like, just stay on the ground until somebody unresurrects you. Like, oh,
Sasuke a bitch too. I don't like it.
Yeah, but I haven't done an episode on him yet because it's just too. I haven't done an episode on any of the main characters. I'm gonna be honest with you. I haven't even done an episode on Naruto yet. Yeah, so it's a lot to cover, a lot to get to. I think I just found my Naruto analyst that I want to bring it in for every Naruto episode. But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of episode 33 of the Operation Hero Talk podcast. I want to thank you all for listening. I thank you all for hanging out with us once
Operation
again.
Operation Heroes. Dun, 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 dun.
Believe it or not, my colleague did not practice that.
Nope.
Yeah, it sounded like a goddamn Power Rangers theme song. What was I gonna say? Once again, if you like the content, if you want to hear more, we are the podcast is available on a lot of multiple streaming platforms, especially the big three: Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. I will link the social media pages that you can find for the page and for us personally. I'll have mine and John's Instagrams locked in. So if you want to give us a shout, go ahead. Tell us how much you liked the episode. Tell us how much you didn't like the episode. We're open to positive and negative comments. Also, with that being said, don't know when the next time Madison Con is coming around, but when it is, I will be doing a live episode from the convention. Plan on getting a table and talking to some people about their favorite anime characters. So you guys definitely are going to want to miss that. It's all leading up to the big time, to the time where I eventually get to the San Diego Comic-Con, which will happen before I am deceased. I can guarantee you that shit. So
yeah,
with that being said, remember this: a big fox with 9 tails may not come and destroy your village. You may never know what it's like to have chakra or to have swag for that matter. But one thing that you can always bet your bottom dollar on are these few facts. Okay. Ramen is great, Naruto's the man, Madara is a bitch, and you can always stay swifty.
Thanks
for listening.